Outlook report. According to that report, Canada is warming about twice as fast as the global average. The report indicated that this means conditions through the winter will still be cold, but more erratic. Icy conditions could become more unpredictable, and freezes and thaws may happen more frequently. This spells difficulty for ice removal in a city like Montreal. Here's Louis Martin, territorial planning advisor at Piéton Québec, a pedestrian advising group that works with the city, explaining the challenges.
We will need to be resilient in face of climate change like this. Some extreme weather events are likely to become more frequent. Because of the climate change, we're really on the line because of the weather. So we will have some more around 0 degrees in those freezing, creating ice storm. It's going to be more and more frequent in the future. That's what the other scientific says. So in this case, we'll need to be prepared. And that's very important when such ice storm come, to be ready and to be sure to de-ice the sidewalk properly, because that can be very dangerous and slippery.
Martin explains that snow and ice removal in Montreal is a massive undertaking that can involve the fire department, ambulance services, and police forces in extreme cases. He says that in the logistics of ice removal after a storm, it is important that sidewalks are prioritized.
We said that we need also to deal with the sidewalks also, because a lot of people relies on walking as a primary means of transportation. They have to be included as priority also.
He also warns this time of year that cyclists are asked to exercise more caution because pedestrians are likely to walk in bike lanes, as these lanes get cleared earlier in the snow removal process. For CJLO News, I'm Adam Innes.
Welcome to North-South Hockey on CJLO 1690 AM. I'm Avery Beaumont, and I'm joined by Will Shukri. We're a NHL hockey show, just gabbing and chatting about one of the most unserious sports leagues in North America. I'm American, Will is Canadian, I'm gay, Will is straight. You know, it's a fun juxtaposition. You yelled at me because I didn't mention that last time. You really needed to clear
it's
the
true.
Air.
Yeah, well, you write it down in our document. Like, come on.
I come with
on.
Notes. I come prepared.
And I come with your notes.
So we literally, the day after we recorded last week, Ottawa Senator story dropped. We got to get into it.
I knew I was ready for this. I knew it was going to happen. Somehow I wasn't ready for this.
I would like to read this like a poem.
Are you saying that athletes aren't faithful? What do you mean? What?
Look,
No.
I am not going to give weight to the actual rumors that were started on an anonymous X account. And the Ottawa Senators, for anyone who has been living under a rock, there were some accusations of infidelity after Linus Ullmark took a personal leave from the team, their goaltender. And the problem is, it was a random X account who tweeted this, and it blew up on Sen's Twitter. Yeah. However,
because it was a Senator's account as well. They had like a Timmy Stutzla in the profile photo or whatever.
Yeah. And so then, unfortunately, like 4 hours after this tweet was made, the Sens put out a statement, which I would like to read as if it was a poem.
Please. It is a poem. This is art.
It's true art. Our organization was extremely disappointed to read the completely fabricated and false stories that are spreading around social media about our hockey club. Linus is away from our team for personal reasons, and he has the entire organization's support. We ask that people respect his privacy, but clearly the request was not heard by the lowest form of trolls and sick people who scour the internet. We are disgusted that outside forces are attempting to disrupt our hockey club. This statement will put an end to the ridiculous speculation that has spread online. That is from Steve Steos, president of hockey operations and general manager of the Ottawa Senators.
Oh, what a mess.
Look,
he's never taken a PR course. I can tell you that. I started out in the dark side in my journalism degree. Okay, I'm not afraid to say it. It happened. I ran from the dark side because it was dark. But holy cow, that is not how PR works.
Not at all. The fact that it was so quickly after that, it really, like, if you jump on that, you could have let it's not a Perry situation like with Perry and Bedard in Chicago few years ago, where that rumor, just because they didn't address it, spiraled completely out of control. This was a very localized, like, this only was affecting the Sens community or freaks on hockey Twitter, basically. And they just jumped on it so fast that it really does feel like a lady doth protest too much, methinks, situation, you know?
Yeah. Innocent people don't plead the fifth.
Yeah, I felt a deep kinship with Sens fans because I kind
of... I don't.
Well, I
sorry.
Naturally, I would hope so. I think they would flog you for doing that in Montreal territory. Yeah.
I've been catching like a little bit of criticism from my friends because I've been laughing about this story a little, and I understand that it is like people's lives are being negatively affected. Listen. The social media monster is terrible. These people deserve to be left alone. But also, it's like, it's hard to sympathize with millionaires cheating on their wives on the road too hard, if we're being honest.
Because
they're rumors, it's all alleged, whatever. But I'm sorry, look at Brady Tkachuk's eyes when he gave that statement. That's a man who slept on the couch for the last 4 days.
Yeah, that's what was so great about
Allmark it. Allmark is the victim here. Allmark is the victim.
No, Allmark's the troublemaker. Imagine getting confronted in a fight over that. If these are true, if these are alleged
rumors.
Well,
my friends did it too.
All my buddies did. And what did you think that was achieved? Did you think, anyway?
Oh, so bad.
I don't want to
so
debate
bad.
That because that's not, that, this is not.
This is all alleged.
This
it's
is
all,
alleged. Yeah, this yeah. is not, we're not trying
it's
to.
Rumor to a degree.
We're not trying to debate.
Although
anyone.
Once your entire organization top to bottom has acknowledged something, you're asking for it. Because I can tell you news outlets wouldn't have reported on this until management and Brady Tkachuk made those statements. That's what gave the green light.
Yeah, but the perfect, like, something I've noticed about the NHL this season, it's like, it's got a great narrative story running through it, and like, there's a lot of really serendipitous moments, and one that happened here was that the night that happened, the Senators played the Avalanche at home. That's just such a perfect setup of, like, this team going through a terrible, embarrassing PR scandal, then playing, that night, the best team in the National Hockey League. And getting trounced 8-2. That was just like cinema. Cinema. That's
pure
exactly
cinema.
What I want.
Absolutely.
They also lost to the Panthers 3-2. They had a win against the Canucks 2-1 the other night. And they're playing the Rangers tonight. So that'll be a good preview for when Chris Drury inevitably makes the swing for Brady Tkachuk. I don't want the Senators to implode simply because I don't want Brady Tkachuk to be the captain of my team. And I know that's going to happen.
Ah, yes. The greatest leadership group in the world, JT Miller and Brady Tkachuk.
Oh, my
Let's
God.
Let's do it.
That sounds like a turning point
Let's
rally.
Do it.
Come on. All right. So speaking of other petty beefs in the NHL, after years of awkwardness, the Detroit Red Wings have retired Sergei Fedorov's jersey. Mm-hmm. That happened Monday night in a ceremony before their game. It was, you know, the relationship between Fedorov and the Red Wings has been very fraught for a number of years because he chose to leave. He was always, you know, not necessarily falling in with the team narratives or what they wanted him to do. And it was very awkward to me, of like, and to everyone, that this legend, this guy who is probably, if not the most famous player from your franchise, it's him and Yzerman. Like, it's, you know, it's
yeah,
like,
Nick Lidstrom might fight it. Yeah, yeah. But still, it's a top three, where it's
top
the
three.
Upper echelon here. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess Fedorov's just really popular with the enthusiastic group of online progressives that I'm around. It's my favorite term.
You really got around that. You really got around that creatively. That's good.
Oh no, that's have you never seen that? Have you never read that? That quote is from Acting the Fool, a man who writes. He's a Leafs writer, and one time he was talking about the Flyers fans who are obsessed with Nolan Patrick and Travis Konechny, and he referred to them as a group of enthusiastic online progressives who seem to enjoy those two.
Good PC language from a Leafs beat reporter, eh?
It's the best way of encapsulating that without sounding, you know, like I'm not like, you got to find a way to explain that without seeming like you're 14. There is this community out there. There is. But yeah.
And we need them. Hockey needs them.
Oh, well, they got them in droves now.
Yeah, it's true.
They
it's
just true. Straight up, the NHL straight up won't acknowledge it. It's so funny how hard they are trying to ignore this wave of new fans from Heated Rivalry. It's so funny. Yeah. Wait, I would expect nothing less. Speaking of expecting nothing less, the Columbus Blue Jackets have fired Dean Evason, who when they hired, I went, that's not a good idea, because he just got fired for being bad at his job, and now you fired your other coach for being bad at his job. So you hired a guy who got fired for being bad at his job. Like, it doesn't...
Yeah. It's a very unserious news week in the NHL.
it's really, like, there's truly not much. It's January hockey, you know, the Lion does not concern himself with hockey before February, basically, but yeah, Dean Evason is out. Rick Bonus, poor peepaw Rick Bonus, has come out of retirement at 70 to coach the Columbus.
He's only 70.
Only 70. I did think he was like 80 this morning, because I mean he looked like sorry to make an American reference, but he looked like Mitch McConnell on the bench, you know, just kind of like a slightly confused wide-eyed stare, and like, you know, I was like, why are we dragging this guy out of bed? He should be on a beach right now. He's done enough. But the Jackets have won since he came in on board. They won 5-3 against the Calgary Flames at home last night.
Oh, they beat the Flames? Wow. God, that's impressive stuff.
Look, as someone who's watched their team horrifically lose to the Flames a number of times when they just have a random, like, you know, good night, you take the wins you can get, especially when you're Columbus.
Columbus should take everything that it's given.
100%.
It's Columbus.
They're currently the only team behind them in the Metropolitan Division is the Rangers. They got 47 points in 46 games.
Yeah, the Rangers have been on a stinker. A big old stinker is what we call that.
Well, that is... Do you want me to get mad? Because I'll get mad.
Please, go for it. We got like 3.5 minutes before an ad break.
Look, I want...
Green light.
I wanted JT Miller on the Rangers because I do think that energy does kind of help sometimes. Especially like... The Rangers, like, I don't want to speak ill of them because I know that every Rangers fan is always like, oh, Zibanejad's too concerned with his DJing, he's not working on his game. Like, that is a real active complaint about how, like, Trouba was doing art and Zibanejad.
I think I saw Zibanejad at Picnic this summer, actually. Yeah. I did a 3-hour-long Psytrance show. It was cool.
They get really mad because a lot of the fan base gets mad because they don't think the players have like the commitment level. And so I wanted JT Miller on that team because I thought that might even it out. But when I said I wanted JT Miller on that team, I meant like as like a bottom six booster, like, or, you know, second line or whatever. And hopefully all the vets stay on. Instead, they shipped out all their vets and then made JT Miller captain and formed the entire team identity around him, a team which now on paper performs better, like statistically performs better when he's not in the lineup. Yeah. That's why the Rangers are going through stinkers, because he's back. Yeah. They were finding their rhythm without him, and it's just like...
Specifically at 5-on-5. He
which they've
is
been
terrible
bad
at 5-on-5.
The Rangers have been historically bad at 5-on-5. Yeah. They are power play merchants, and I'm
Absolutely.
Proud of that fact. That's how we beat the Carolina Hurricanes. But, you know, it's still just like, I, at this point, just don't... I can't even think about what their chances are, where they're going. Are they going to tank? Are they going to make the playoffs? Because literally it just takes like a 4-game win streak to get into a wild card position at this point. It's not like – it's so precarious because of how close everyone is in the standings. It's everyone's got the same record practically. So I think with a lot of these teams that are like making changes and that might be struggling, we can't really gauge where they're going to be. And I think it's going to make for a very interesting trade deadline, which we will be getting into later in this rendition. I don't know why I'm calling this episode a rendition, but I don't know. There's some theater to this.
There's always some theater to radio. Always, always.
There's theater to hockey. Oh, my God. Talk about entertaining. Oh, my God.
Yeah, we already talked about the Ottawa Senators. Listen.
It's good. It's good hockey right now. That's the thing. It's January hockey, but God, is it fun to watch.
I can't be trusted to talk about this story. We're gonna have to,
you went we farther than I was break. Intending to the point where I'm concerned. Look, all right. So I think
there's not a lot of love lost between Habs and Sens fans here. I've got more distaste for the Ottawa Senators than the Leafs. The Leafs is just like... The Leafs is like that kid in class who one leg is shorter than the other. So every time he runs, he kind of ends up pointing to the left like a little bit. And it's like you really want the best for him at the end of the day. But also, you're turning your back and you're laughing at him like a little bit, you know. That's the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I'm not going to let you respond because you're a Leafs fan. We're going to go straight to commercial break. You're listening to North-South Hockey.
Trans voices are being silenced.
1690.
Trans
they are
voices
being
are being silenced.
Live on air. I'm going to mute your mic. I got the control board. We'll be right back.
Hi, it's Chapa Brown, and you're listening to CJLO 1690 AM.
Dive into the ultimate comic haven at Crossover Comics. Unleash your inner geek with the best selection of graphic novels, manga, games like Pokemon and Magic, in-store events, merch, and more. Our knowledgeable and friendly staff have got your back with awesome recommendations for your next read. Score big with a free account. Enjoy comic subscriptions and membership discounts. Be in on the action at 3560 Notre Dame West in St. Henry, right near Metro Lionel Brew. Crossover Comics. Sharing your passions since 2012.
Ashes to Ashes is your home for modern pop in all of its forms, whether it be synth pop, hyper pop, ambient pop, or anything else ending in pop. Along with Bops, the show features interviews and performances from an always growing list of emerging and established pop artists from both the local Montreal music scene and abroad. So tune in at 7 p.m. every Tuesday on CJLO 1690 AM and CJLO.com.
All right, we're back. You're listening to North-South Hockey on CJLO 1690 AM. We're going to run through some of the hockey headlines from the past couple days. Again, it's a kind of a slow week in terms of news, and I'm sure something insanely dramatic will happen as soon as we stop recording today, because that's how it goes. Connor McDavid has a 20-game point streak after the Oilers lost 4-3 in overtime to the Nashville Predators on Tuesday night. That is insane. Like, only McDavid could do that, but oh my God. But here's the thing, to extend your point streak to 20 games when you lose horrifically to the current Nashville Predators, that's the Oilers.
It's the most McDavid thing ever, I guess. Yeah.
That is the, you know, the Oilers and the Leafs are pretty comparable in a lot of ways,
This is true.
You know, Matthews becoming the all-time franchise leader as their team is crumbling, you know, and McDavid.
Oh, right. That did happen.
He has scored the most goals in Leafs franchise history.
Wow. And nobody cared. Wow.
I mean.
And as a guy who just said some hilarious things about the Leafs, yeah, he deserved to get some more notoriety for that.
They talked about it. I think it was a week or two, or a week and a half ago.
Wendell Clark? Matt Sundin?
He passed Sundin. Yeah.
Sundin. Yeah, yeah. There's been six great players, great goal scorers in the Leafs history. So,
you know what's crazy about that is that if you look at that that chart, Sundin was in first. Do you know who was in third and is now in second?
Phil Kessel.
Who's in third right now?
Phil Kessel?
No. I'm sorry. Hot Dog Man is not.
That would have been fun.
I don't think Hot Dog Man was a very prolific goal scorer.
Yeah. 35 a year. 35
a year.
He wasn't on the Leafs long enough.
Yeah. No, it's Marner. Marner's in third place.
Oh, God.
It was literally Marner, Matthews, Sundin.
For goal scoring. Oh.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing.
Well, Marner was putting up 30 a year. Yeah.
And sometimes more, yeah. I mean, that's what's crazy to me about, like, this era of the Leafs is that everyone rags on them and everyone hates them. And then I look at those numbers and I'm like...
These are the best players they've ever had.
I'm like, we're going to look back in, like, 50 years and be like, these are some of the best players to ever wear this jersey.
And the core isn't going to win a cup, so...
Mm, Well, I have a theory, actually. I have a theory that the Leafs might actually... Because I think, to me, there's like a formula to which...
They're going to bring in Brady Kachuk. It'll solve everything.
I would sooner eat table
Brady
salt.
Brady Kachuk and Rasmus Anderson.
I would eat raw table salt.
They're going to collect all of the good players from crappy Canadian teams.
Oh, my God. No, it's like... Because I was looking at the Leafs' defensive core. I said I wouldn't talk about the Leafs, and now I'm doing it. I don't really care.
It's okay. I said some not complimentary things like 4 minutes ago. We'll survive.
Yeah. Sorry to do this in Montreal. But you can laugh at it because of how bad they are. Don't worry.
Once again, just imagine that kid from school whose left leg was like an inch shorter.
I looked at their decor and I was just like spinning because I was like, that's a Stanley Cup winning decor. Like in terms of depth they have, like it's not like they have elite, like they, Riley is not necessarily like super like elite compared to other teams. However, I do think like I look at the depth in that decor and I'm like, dang, that's like really good. That's like a really solid insurance. And then Wall's having a great season in net. Stolarz is, you know, he's injured right now, but he could potentially come back. And if you have like solid goaltending, you have solid defense. And then I also think a big component of being a winning team is you have to get humiliated at some point.
That is what I thought. Chris Tanev is out for a significant amount of time.
Chris Tanev's on what Leafs fans call Rubida Island, which is where Jake Muzzin inhabits
Island.
Muzzin inhabits that space too. It's a guy they bring in for like 1 year, it doesn't work out, and they're just like, you'll be like a scout for us or something. Like, very clear when Tanev signed that deal, it's like he is not going to actually fulfill that contract. But even without him, I like what their defense looks like. And I think that a key part of being a winning team is being humiliated and embarrassed, because then you have a drive and something to fight for. I don't think the Lightning win unless they get knocked out of the first round by Columbus that 1 year. You know?
The problem with this decor is it just doesn't play enough defense.
No.
I would say. No. I mean, like, Brandon Carlo is turning into an elite shot blocker, but he is huge and doesn't use his body. Oliver Ekman-Larsson, he's had a bit of a revival here this season. He's turned into more of a two-way defenseman. Yeah. He used to just be a defensive liability. I wouldn't say that's true anymore. I think that that third pairing is what carries. Simon Benoit and Troy Stetcher is what makes this decor acceptable right now.
Stetcher is... I just read an...
That first pairing to me is weak. Morgan Rielly barely cracks the Habs top four. When Caden Gooley's healthy, he doesn't crack the Habs top four.
I don't know. I've watched these players for a few years now, and I quite like that setup. I don't think I've liked a Leafs defensive core ever in my entire life.
I'm a big Jake Gardner fan, actually, personally. And I'm not saying that facetiously. Took a lot of abuse, and those Leafs teams of the mid-teens, 20-teens, would not have been nearly successful without him.
Yeah, for sure.
The Snake Gardner, folks.
On that note, I should probably get away from the Leafs before I get too in depth. Definitely, if you want to have some Schadenfreude this week, definitely watch the Leafs tomorrow night. Are playing the Vegas Golden Knights at home. It's going to be the first.
Oh, and Max Domi has taken Mitch Marner's spot on the first line. So.
Yes. So it's the first reunion between Mitch Marner and the Leafs. So that is going to be some prime. Talking about cinema, talking about drama, talking about theater. Ooh, that's going to be a good one.
Either that or it's going to be a bunch of men pushing their feelings deep, deep down. And like we're going to see Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner awkwardly make eye contact one time at the opening faceoff and then never again.
I just thought about a Taylor Swift lyric, so we really need to stop talking about the Leafs immediately.
See, I don't draw the line at the Leafs, but I do draw the line at Taylor Swift.
All right, so more headlines. The New Jersey Devils ended their four-game losing streak with a 5-2 win over the Minnesota Wild in this season's first Hughes Bowl, as you could call it, as Quinn Hughes is now on the Wild, and his two brothers are unfortunately still in New Jersey and getting a lot of flack. Luke Hughes, that was all last week, so we won't get too in-depth into that, but... Oh, God, those two own goals and the whole media frenzy around them. Dougie Hamilton played last night after he was healthy scratched instead of Hughes. That's a lot of
Well,
drama.
He was scratched for business reasons, we're saying. We're looking at a trade still, eh?
No, I think it was more just that his agent released like a statement about working with the Devils to find a trade if this was going to be a regular practice of him being scratched, which is fair because Dougie Hamilton not had the best season, but
hasn't had the best last three, four seasons. He just can't stay healthy, right?
He's injured.
He's an elite defender. He can't stay healthy.
Yeah, and it's like I think he's part of why the Hughes trade didn't go through, because I'm assuming in that scenario you probably got to give Hamilton up, and it's like, I know there's talk about like the no trade clauses and stuff like that. However, why, if you're trying to fix your defensive core, would you give up Dougie Hamilton? So it doesn't make any sense to begin with. But yeah, I think he was back in the lineup, so maybe their things are smoothing out between them. But he's definitely on.
I just don't think anyone wants him.
What's his contract? Because I feel like any team who has like the Leafs would love him. The Rangers would love him.
I believe it's $7.5 million.
Oh, no one's paying that. No one's paying that.
Please do fact check me, but I believe he is signed to $7.5 million.
No one wants to. Here's the thing. Everyone
and there's
wants,
another like 3 years.
Oy, and he's getting up there. I think he's like
getting
20,
up. Yeah, 28. Yeah.
No, I mean like. I think a number of teams would love a player like Hamilton.
For
unfortunately,
sure.
The NHL is so cheap right now. They don't want to pay for anything. Yeah. Let's see. He gets...
Is it worse?
It's worse.
7.85?
No, it's so much worse. It's so much worse. I'm covering my mouth, which I shouldn't do on radio. I'm so sorry. This is just how
is
shocked I am.
Is he making 10?
He's making 9.
Oh, no.
He's making 9.
He makes
9.
More than Lane Hudson.
He makes
so
9.
Dougie Hamilton makes more than Lane Hudson. Okay.
Oi, 9 mil
right?
For that. Oh, what did you do there, Fitzgerald? Oof. Yikes. That's why no one's going to take him.
No, not for 9 mil. You may be at 50% retained.
And
but
I don't...
Now you've got a player with a no trade clause. You're already negotiating downhill here, or negotiating uphill, I suppose. So you already have no leverage because he's got a no trade clause.
Yeah.
And now you've got to retain half of his contract.
Yeah, it's not looking good.
Because Dougie Hamilton's not going to waive his no-trade clause to go to a crappy hockey team. He's going to waive his no-trade clause to go to a contender. And no contender can...
No tender,
can
contender
that
can afford
up.
That. No, absolutely not.
No, that's why he denied a trade to the Sharks earlier.
Yeah.
The Sharks apparently are still looking for a defenseman, a right-now defenseman. And they should look towards Rasmus Anderson from the Calgary Flames.
Yeah, do you want to get into trade talk? We can maybe get into
that
a bit later.
Yeah, that felt pretty natural, yeah.
Yeah, so the NHL trade deadline is March 6th this year.
Right.
However, last season we saw before the deadline, there was kind of a soft deadline before the Four Nations break. Most of the trades happened before players left. And
all of the Habs trades.
Yeah. All the JT Miller trade with the Rangers happened then. I think the Leafs might have brought someone on at that point too. Because, you know, you just want to like go on your vacation and not have to be like spending the time with your family worrying about, you know, which center you're about to overpay for. And so because the Olympic break starts at the beginning of February, I believe it's February 4th. I'm wondering if there's going to be a similar soft deadline this time where everyone gets their ducks in a row. But you brought up the good point of, do they want to do that with the Olympics potentially injuring some guys?
Yeah. It's like my advice for all you those who do fantasy drafts out there. And you never hold your fantasy drafts until after training camp.
Yes. Yeah, very smart.
So then you end up with Sasha Barkov on your team.
I'm so sorry for your loss there.
I don't. It's not me. It's not me.
Okay.
It's not me. Okay. I'm safe. All right. I have Braden Point.
I just realized I hadn't set my fantasy lineup for I'm in like two leagues. I didn't set that for I think about 4 months. I forgot. I did it in like September and I forgot that I was doing that. And somehow there are still people below me in
there
both
are.
Of those leagues. Yeah. Both of the leagues I'm in. So I'm like, I'm going to do the Leafs comeback. We're going to St. Louis Blues 2019, this stuff, you know, like, come on. I will say with the trade deadline stuff, it's very, to me, it's going to be interesting to see what happens because every team is like above .500 in the points percentage. Every team is a couple wins away from making a wild card spot, especially in the East. So I wonder if it's going to be an interesting deadline because every team technically can be competitive.
Could be buyers. They could be buyers.
Every team could be buyers. Because if your team is kind of most of the teams in the East are like one or two good players away from like kind of locking that spot up a little more.
Being a true contender, yeah.
Yeah. So doesn't every GM who is in that position, which is a lot of GMs and a lot of teams, don't they have the responsibility to go for that and to make these trades? And there's not even a lot of good options available, but it's
No, there's not a lot of good options. You can raid the Calgary Flames.
Yeah.
That's about it. Blake Coleman, Nazem Kadri, Rasmus Anderson. These are, in my opinion, these are the players at the top of the trade list.
Yes, yes. The Flames are the main sellers this season. The Flames, because they're just, what's going on there? Nazem Kadri's name has been floated a couple times, which is interesting because he gets brought up, I feel like, way too much.
Often.
Yeah. Because like he didn't seem like he was leaving. It's like he has his cup. He went to Calgary to retire in the snow. And then it's, well, Denver has snow too. But no, it's just... I don't, with a couple of these guys, these are like perennial, the guys who are getting listed now as potential trade targets are like the always, always on the market dudes.
Ryan O'Reilly.
Blake Coleman. Blake Coleman and Jordan Kyrou exist as trade bait in my eyes. Like, they're just there. Blues are also sellers, I will say. Blues are sellers. They did just sign Philip Broberg to a
6x8
contract extension, $48 million overall. Which is crazy for that kid coming off of that offer sheet situation a few years ago from the Oilers. He bet on himself, and boy, did it pay off.
It worked, yeah.
Yeah, because the Oilers would
have... not even having an amazing season this year compared to last. I mean, he's having a down year compared to last year, and they still paid him.
Well, the Blues grade on a curve. It's the St. Louis Blues. I don't know. They don't got a lot there.
It's true. I don't imagine...
Braden Schenn's name always gets
brought
up.
Always. And like, sure, that's a high-end third-line center. Yeah.
Talk about trade bait. Both of the Schenns. Luke's already getting thrown around, too, because the Jets are not doing hot, which is really funny. Really funny.
Philip Deneau already got traded. That's a name that's always always in the upper echelon of the trade bait list.
Where'd he end up?
Montreal, came back home.
Oh, that's good.
Phil
good Deneau, for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Good for you.
So now we have a line. We can have a line of Brendan Gallagher, Josh Anderson, and Philip Deneau, and we can all pretend it's 2021 again.
Speaking of that, do you want Jesperi Kotkaniemi back? Do you
for
want him back?
$6.5 million. I'm good, thanks. They can keep him down there in Carolina. Sure.
His name's on the board.
That poor kid, man. Oh. They have no idea what to do with this kid. I cannot believe how he's been mismanaged by Rod the Bod. Clearly not Rod the Brain here.
No.
Just unbelievable. I mean, this kid was never going to be an 80-point first line forward. No. But they're not playing him on the penalty kill. He's 6'3" and a center. And his game operates off a hockey IQ. Maybe let's lean into that. But whatever. I digress.
It's the Hurricanes. I think the problem with the Hurricanes is they play such like a specific system, and they play such Brind'Amour hockey that it's like, you notice like with Rantanen wanting to leave, if you don't
immediately.
Yeah. If you don't fit that like ethos, if you don't fit that system, you're just gone. And I think that's a real problem with the Hurricanes, where it's like you can't just keep throwing darts at the wall hoping they're going to stick. Like, you can't just assume that you'll eventually find enough players who can play under that system. You have to be adaptable and you have to be fluid. And I would not call the Hurricanes in the way that they play hockey fluid.
They would have already won a cup if they were fluid.
Yeah. It's some of the most boring hockey. And I will say I do have genuine disrespect for the way they play hockey, which I don't about most teams. But that bothers me because,
they're boring to watch.
If you shoot the puck 80 times at the net, a couple times it's going to go in. It's going to go in one of those times. That's not skill. That's just... Oh, it just bothers me.
Hey, but they're playing the odds. They're playing the odds. Rod the Gambler.
They always are listed as some of the like top contenders going into
And they
into
are.
The season.
I want to be clear. They are.
But
they're
won't
pretty
finish.
Much a lock to make the Western Conference final every
Western
single year.
Western Conference? You good?
Yeah.
Hurricanes? Western Conference? You good?
Oh, yeah. They're in the East.
They're in
sure.
the East? Yeah. Yeah, they are. Yeah.
Ugh. Why are they in the East?
Well, because
the Met, listen,
do you
the
know
Met
where...
doesn't exist, okay? The Metropolitan
Will,
Division
Will,
doesn't
I want to ask you.
We are in Montreal. The Atlantic Division is all that there is.
Will,
all that there is. The New York Rangers and the New Jersey Devils, no, they play in the Atlantic Division.
No. Will, you are a grown 20. Are you 22 or 23? You're 22.
Shut up.
Okay. Grown man. Where? Tell me very quickly, where do you think Carolina is on a map? Where do
where
you
do
think
I
Carolina
think,
is?
It's across the line that I can't get past because I write articles about Donald Trump. That's where Carolina is. So, you know, everything past that line, it doesn't matter anymore. It's all unreachable to me now.
You draw it at the Mason-Dixon line. Okay. Okay. All right. So other names, Rasmus Anderson. I mean, he's probably one of the top because he's 29. He's got a 4.55.
And is an elite defensive defenseman. Elite. Top five defensive defenseman in the NHL. He's that good. I'm serious. He is not like an amazing hockey player. He's an incredible defender.
But the thing is, it's like,
look at those shot blocks, man.
I don't know who's going to take him.
Let's get into Corsi forward percentage. I don't know who's going to take him either.
Never speak Corsi on this.
I know.
This show
I
ever
said it
again.
On purpose. Avery hates Corsi four.
What the heck? What the heck is Corsi?
We're
I don't
not.
Know what it is.
I'm not going to spend 6 minutes you ever, to talk because it is.
No, I know what Corsi is. It just. Have you ever seen that meme of like Americans? Like, you know, the what the heck is a kilometer? I'm censoring myself a little bit for radio. That's how I feel about Corsi. What the? What are you? Ugh.
For the record, the Americans who say "What the heck is a kilometer?" It's worrying. It's worrying. It works in tens.
I will be so honest. I was driving my U-Haul.
What's a mile?
I drove my U-Haul across the border when I moved, and all of a sudden, my phone switched to kilometers, and I was like, I don't know how fast I'm going at all.
Listen, in the city, you go 50. On the highway, you go 100. Easy.
Yeah.
In the U.S., you got the limit's 35 in the city, and then you go up to 60 on the highways. These are just numbers. These are random numbers, just like Fahrenheit.
Well, that's what hockey stats are to me, just random numbers. I'm kidding. Like some, yeah, I do believe in stats, but I'm wary of them because I feel like we're a little too over-reliant on them and forget the broader context around things. People just love to regurgitate stats and then draw no synthesis or analysis from them, which is
troubling.
You spend
too much time on Twitter.
Yes, because that's how I made my career. But, you know, anyway, so other people, Kiefer Sherwood obviously is like one of the top guys because he's just been like the only saving grace of the Canucks since Hughes left. Well, William too, but he's definitely staying there as like part of that rebuild.
Sherwood's 26.
No, Sherwood's 30.
Kiefer Sherwood's 30?
Kiefer Sherwood is 30 years old, and he's signed to a $1.5 million deal.
He's
a pending UFA. He is all the hallmarks of, you know, a rental.
He's got all the hallmarks of a rental that I want to stay away from. A rental who's had two good seasons his entire career. They came at age 29 and 30. He makes $1 million. He's going to ask for, like, 4x6.
I just also don't...
And he might get it.
He could get 4x6.
Might get it. Yeah. He averages like 4.5 hits a game. It is ridiculous.
He is leading the league in hits again.
Every
year. Yeah. And the thing is I don't even know if the Canucks want to give that up right now. I don't know if he's like your only guy with life. I don't know about that. Like
if he goes, I'd move Pettersson as well.
That's what I'm thinking is like I don't think they're moving Pat. I doubt they're moving Pettersson. Right. He's dealt with a lot personally lately, and he's always like he signed that deal to live in Vancouver. He wanted to commit to – he likes playing there, even if they're shit. So I – or bad. I don't know. Like you blow up the whole team if you get rid of Sherwood at that point, because what are you going to have? Like Connor Garland in a dream? Like I don't think so. Yeah. He's a feisty 5-5 guy, but I don't know if he could carry the whole team. They are definitely heading for a tank. So getting rid of Sherwood would make sense. But again, it's like, which team is going to be silly enough to overpay him? which team's going to get him in free agency?
I don't want to speculate. They'll just turn into insults.
You'll speculate about the Ottawa Senators' personal life, but you won't speculate about Kiefer Sherwood.
Yeah, we'll see how well that ages.
Oh, man. Other people.
Gotta age better than Mr. Kachuk's marriage, so.
Okay, we're getting some Habs pettiness out of the way here. Good, good. Stamkos, Ryan O'Reilly, Marchessault, all the Nashville Predators are.
All the Nashville Predators
are
right.
Always. Here's the problem.
Steven Stamkos is a better name than Ryan O'Reilly as well, because he learned how to score goals again this year, so.
That's good. I'm glad he remembered how he plays hockey. That's good.
Well, I mean, the Tampa Bay Lightning.
You know what? Honestly, I see the Lightning going far this playoffs. I really do. Because they are the only, like, solid team in the East. The Red Wings have been good as well. But do I really
disrespectful.
Have... Disrespectful?
I don't know.
Do you still have beef from 2021? You beat them.
No, it was disrespectful to Steven Stamkos, what they did.
I don't know why I just said that anyway, but yeah. Oh, there is beef. There is beef with Stamkos.
Stamkos should have retired a Lightning.
He probably will. He'll do one of those one-day contract things like the Exa did with the Canucks. I don't know. All of these names are out here. I don't know if any of them are going to stick.
Braden Point's out for weeks. You could actually maybe use Steven Stamkos. God, that'd be so funny.
Honestly, I don't put that past Julian Brisebois,
Steven,
general manager of the Lightning.
I know
to do
that we said we didn't think you were worth the money you were asking for, but actually, can you come back?
Well, the Lightning did a very interesting thing. They did that. They've brought back Yanni Gourde and Ryan McDonough. They're kind of reuniting the team, so I wouldn't be surprised if Stammer went back.
Danoa's coming back to the Habs. Okay, so it's going to be
Miller's back on the Rangers. It's 2014 all over again. I don't know if Danoa was playing by that point.
And every goalie is being run. It is 2014.
It truly is. Yeah. With McDonough, with the Lightning, they did a really interesting thing where, like, they asked him to waive his clause to get traded to Nashville because they needed the cap space to sign the younger guys. They told him, like, if we ever have the opportunity to get you back, we will. This is not we don't want it's you. Fair. It's just we have to cut someone.
It's business is business.
Yeah. And so I think that, like, they ended up trading for him the second that they could back from Nashville. So
they invested in Braden Point, though.
No, that wasn't why they got rid of Point's been on a contract for a while.
Yeah, they could have moved Point.
Yeah.
He makes eight, a flat eight. And this offseason, his contract looked great because he was coming off his like sixth straight 90-point campaign.
I think Point has suffered since Stamkos left. I think it's very evident how much he was dependent on
him. That
was
a duo. Yeah.
It was, you know, it's tough to restructure when you lose such a key piece like that. But I do think that now you got me thinking about Stamkos going back to the Lightning, and I'm going to be thinking about that because that does sound like something stupid that their GM would do.
And it would also be beneficial to the Lightning overall.
Probably. But in that case, if you're getting Stamkos back, that's like you're making one last run.
Right.
One last run.
Yeah.
So we'll see. You don't feel
it's like that in Tampa Bay. You think they've got one more after this year?
No, I'm saying if they get Stamkos, he's not going to. That's a like Lightning equivalent of Robida Island. Like Stamkos is not going to play that much longer. I imagine. Correct. I mean, he's the kind of guy who could play till he's 40, but I don't know.
Yeah, but that's in like a year and a half. So
is he that?
I think he's like 37.
Okay. Well, the thing is they could, because of how terrible the East is right now, they could make that run, and they
could. 35.
35, yeah.
36 in 2 weeks.
I was about to say, I don't think he's that up there.
36 in 2 weeks.
Oh, God. Do you know what's the funniest commentary I heard in the past 2 weeks? I might have brought this up last week, so I'm sorry if I did. But the other, I was watching, I think it was during the Suns game probably, because the commentators were just like, the pass is intercepted by 40-year-old Brent Burns. Like a very pronounced 40. And I was like, leave people alone. These guys don't die at 35. Come on. Mark Giordano went till he was like, what, 87? Like, some of these guys can go a bit longer than we give them credit for. Last bit of news that we had to cover is that the 2026 NHL draft will be held in Buffalo this year. So,
woohoo! Let's all go to Buffalo, guys. Awesome.
Party at KeyBank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's back in person. They're doing it like a real draft again this year.
I don't think so.
I thought they said that. At least they acknowledged the failings of draft 2025.
That was the funniest thing ever, though. That was so funny.
It was unwatchable. Funny, yes, but unwatchable. Normally the drafts are enjoyable to watch.
No, that was perfectly enjoyable. You say I'm on hockey Twitter too much. You need to get on hockey Twitter because that night was
not
fun.
Enjoyable to watch. Yeah, but you weren't watching the draft. You were watching hockey Twitter, clearly.
No. I was tweeting out
the draft updates. Shouldn't need Twitter to be exciting. It can just be.
You've not experienced the community
just
that
like
stems
the old
from
All-Star games.
You need to experience the community that comes from a 5-hour long draft where you're all kind of losing your minds by 11 o'clock. It's like the Oscars. They just go on for days. So that'll be a bit interesting. I'd like to see a more entertaining draft this year because last year's was incredibly comical. I think they should just have it at the Sphere every year. That was a perfect draft, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think it should be in Montreal every year. But what do I say? For the record, the GMs also said that Montreal was the best draft of the because of course it is. It's a psycho hockey city. It's reasonable.
All the reporters loved the last Buffalo draft. Like, all of them talk about it. Like, if you listen to, like, Wyshynski and Merrick, they talk about
it. Because
like,
it would have been the biggest thing happening in Buffalo. They would have run the town for the weekend.
That's what I imagine.
That's what it was. They would have run the town for a weekend.
I'm sure a lot of people are going to have fun.
I don't know how many times you've been to Buffalo, but Buffalo is not a fun place. I mean, you're from New York. I'm sure.
Western New York is not my business. I've been to Buffalo. I've been to Buffalo a little bit, and I went there.
There's nothing to do.
I went there like a year and a half ago, and my friend was driving through, and this is the dumbest thought I think I've ever had in my life, was driving through Buffalo. I was like, man, the sky is really close to the ground here. It felt really weird. I felt like I was in another plane of existence. I felt like I was in like the Fields of Asphodel or something, you know? Like
that is what Buffalo is. Buffalo is really the Fields of Asphodel. Like, yes.
Why is this? It's empty. The hills are so high. Like,
everyone has a neutral expression on their face. They're not smiling or frowning, you know? They're just there.
That's all you can be in Buffalo. So the draft will be there. It will be there. I think we have an ad break coming up here, don't
we?
All right. Right back, and we'll talk about some of the top scorers this week, including a very, very exciting Montreal Canadian.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. En français aussi. It's good. It's good. Let's go. North-South Hockey, CJLO 1690. As always, we'll be right back.
Hey, this is Nick from A Scar for the Wicked. You're listening to CJLO 1690 AM Montreal.
CJLO presents The Big M Show, a series of hour-long theatrical specials featuring all new music from local singer-songwriter extraordinaire Marlena Moore. Over the course of 2026, come on out to Theater VME for dazzling performances, each with their own unique theme, set design, and costumes. The first Big M Show is coming up on January 25th at 7 p.m. So get your tickets now to the Big M Show at mileandimprov.ca.
I once had a dream that I was eating a peanut butter and tuna fish sandwich. And let me tell you something, it was delicious. So the next day, I decided to make that sandwich. And in real life, it is disgusting. It is a disgusting sandwich. And the reason I tell you this story, pick up the phone, just.
Hi, this is Dreamscapes, and we want to eat that disgusting sandwich because we're a show about dreams, and we don't think that dream sandwich is disgusting at all. You should be calling us to tell us about your dreams and your dream sandwiches. And if you do want to call in, the number is 514-848-7471. And we're on CJLO Mondays at 4 p.m. And we don't think your dream is weird at all. It sounds really good, actually.
Welcome back to North-South Hockey on CJLO 1690 AM. We're going to get into the Montreal Canadiens now a little bit,
I've been having a lot of dreams.
You have a lot of dreams. dreams of Texier. This is your circus. These are your monkeys.
These are my circus, my monkeys.
Yeah.
It's true.
What's going on?
It's true. Things are so close to being amazing in Habs land, but they're not. They're not. They're close. They're close. Habs fans just need to continue not thinking negatively about this, because once again, it is all overwhelmingly positive, the things that are happening. They choked a 2-goal lead against the Washington Capitals yesterday, and then lost it in overtime. Doesn't happen very often, for the record, Habs losing in overtime. But this was not supposed to be a team that wins a cup, and it is playing really well. And the best part of the last 7 days, as a Montreal Canadiens fan or in the Montreal Canadiens organization, is the man from France, the best French hockey player in the world right now. This is true.
It's not exactly stiff competition.
No, he might wear the C for France in the Olympics, actually.
I think he's the only French player in the league
in the
right
NHL
now.
Right,
yeah,
because yes,
Belmar retired.
Belmar's
yeah.
gone, yeah. I wonder if they actually didn't look at the French Olympic team. I wonder if they brought him out of retirement to go play like fourth line minutes.
Oh, yeah, he would.
I bet they did, yeah. But Alexandre Texier has 8 points in his last 4 games. He's got 4 goals and 4 assists. He's playing on the top line with Nick Suzuki and Cole Caulfield. He's playing on power play too. And he's playing some great freaking hockey. We've been looking. The Habs have been in kind of a tough situation all year because we've got 4 premier level forwards right now, right? You got Demidov, Slavkovsky, and then obviously the 2 big boys, Suzuki and Caulfield. It's hard to make two lines out of four players, right?
Yeah.
So we've been operating with two duos. Obviously, Caulfield and Suzuki, they stay together.
Bonded
they
pair, do not separate. Friends. Commonly yeah, yeah. bought together, you know, like...
They can be seen together sharing a pedal boat on the lake in Mont Tremblant, you know.
So you turn into an enthusiastic online progressive when the Habs are concerned. Okay, I see where this is. But no.
They are in a hockey player relationship, absolutely.
Yeah.
And then you have Demidov and Slavkovsky working together on the second line. Some really good chemistry being built there, a couple of kids. Oliver Kapanen, another rookie, is centering Demidov and Slavkovsky. That's been working. He, okay. I wouldn't call him a high-end second-line center right now, but he is doing his job. He's the best second-line center this team's had in a couple of years. Did a better job than Kirby Dach, did a better job than Alex Newhook, Joe Valeno, any of these guys.
Yeah.
But what's missing is a hole on the top line. You need a third forward on your top line to play against the league's best every night. And that man was La Fierté de Québec, Zach Bolduc. But unfortunately, Zach Bolduc is not a first-line forward, especially not the kind of first-line forward they need. He's a rover. He is an opportunistic forward. That's not who they needed. They needed somebody to grind, forecheck, create space, create loose pucks. Alex Texier has come into this team and said, hey, there is a role available. This team is missing something. I'm going to set aside all of my ego because I was just waived by the St. Louis Blues, so there's no ego left anyway. And I'm going to be exactly what this team needs me to be. His first 2 weeks in Montreal were spent crashing the boards. That's about it. Just being in the right places, doing the right things. And when you do the right things for long enough, good things are going to happen. You're going to start getting bounces. The puck is going to find you. Things are going to open up for you. And Alex Texier leads the NHL in points over the last 7 days.
Unbelievable.
He's signed 1 year, $1 million after his contract was terminated by the St. Louis Blues. And they play Logan Mailloux every night.
Look, is he back up now? Oy, Jesus.
Did they never really sent him down?
Mm. I just remember he got
and
sent
he's
down.
He's statistically the worst defenseman in the NHL.
Yeah. I remember they sent him down and he was still doing bad in the NHL.
And they brought him back up like immediately after. He was down for like four games.
It's the St. Louis Blues. They don't exactly have much going on there to begin with.
It's true.
I will say about the Habs, though, it's interesting. It's a very similar. It's similar to Stetcher with the Leafs. Waiver claim picked up. Yeah. He sees the role. He's a worker. He grinds for it. So they're playing him on the top line now with Caulfield and Suzuki.
Yes.
Sorry, I just combined Cole and Caulfield. Caulfield.
For the last like week and a half.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
it's working. He's playing like 17 minutes a night. He doesn't play penalty kill. He doesn't have first wave power play.
I honestly like that lineup. I even didn't mind like Bolduc because I think that a line that I always really loved, and again, I'm so sorry to make this about the Toronto Maple Leafs. I don't want to, but it's just, it's in me.
Too many sound effects out of me today.
Yeah, we should get a board or something like that.
Oh, yeah. You got to get me a board, man.
Yeah. Because I love a line that I always really liked was Bunting, Matthews, and Marner.
Sure.
I really like that line. Really good to have the two elites.
Zach Hyman is great on the side of Connor McDavid.
Yeah, you have your two elites, and then you have a kind of, Hyman's less like this, but kind of a grinder type guy who is, you know, like, it's like Vincent Trocheck with like Panarin and Lafreniere. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to have that guy who sets those guys up, and that's a lot of dirty work, so it's not necessarily going to be the flashiest of players.
Correct.
I'm glad that Texier has been working out. It's cool that a Francophone is doing so well in the Habs.
I feel so good for this kid. He's 24. Like, it's not as though his career is decided yet.
He's 26.
Oh, he's 26 now.
Yeah. Okay, sorry, we're getting all the ages wrong today.
Yeah. Including mine. We're not age people, okay? Numbers, listen.
Age is nothing but an... Oh, no, I don't want to mention that. We don't need to get into...
Better you saying that line than me, that's for sure.
Oh, God, yeah. But there's hockey...
Any of us is going under that bus, it's not going to be me.
There's hockey years. Like, I describe players in hockey years.
Yeah, it's like dog years.
Yeah, because I have a 75-year-old mother, so she and she's just getting into hockey as like a casual lifelong Rangers fan.
Boone Jenner is your mother?
Yeah. He's my drag mother. So I'll have to explain it to her because she'll be like, "Wow, that guy looks haggard," and I'm like, "Yeah." So, yeah. Like she's like, she'll look at, she looked at Ovechkin.
No, actually, he just plays for the Buffalo Sabres. He's 24.
No, the Sabres are on the comeback now. They have a GM bump that somehow helped, but
Yarmo.
Yeah. I told my mom that I said, like, she looked at Ovechkin, and I'm like, he's about 108 in hockey years.
Yeah, he is.
She saw Kucherov, and I'm like, he's about, like, 87, probably. 87. He might fit. His jersey actually advertises his age.
You gotta
stop
picking the Russians, because there's other circumstances that add to this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. No, the Habs, I will say this to you every time. The Habs are in a good spot. Yeah. I'm really happy with the Habs. They're doing great.
They're in a spot where it's so easy to look at this team and be like, oh, they're a couple pieces away. Oh, maybe we can really do something here. Don't make drastic changes. Don't overplay your hand. This team was never going to win a Stanley Cup this year. And no matter what moves you make, unless it's bringing in Connor McDavid and Dustin Wolf or something, they're not going to win a cup this year, period.
Yeah.
Like the Habs need a goaltender.
That's your main problem.
Now, Jacob Fowler is 20 years old. In 3 years, I believe he'll be a top 15 starter in the NHL. He's already statistically like a very mediocre starter in the NHL, whereas Montembeau and Dobish have fallen off a cliff and are some of the worst goalies in hockey. But there are three goalies who I would be okay with the Habs acquiring.
Mm-hmm.
Dustin Wolf, Philip Gustafson, and Jesper Wallstedt. And that's it. The list ends there.
Sorry, I need a tissue and we're interrupting this programming because I was laughing very hard at you thinking that you will get Dustin Wolf.
No, of course you're not going to get Dustin Wolf, not unless it costs you an arm and a leg, right?
Yeah, no, the Flames, like, they will give up every player on that roster. They will not give up that child. That correct. Child is like their correct. Savior. He is the prodigal
the second
son.
Coming of, yes, yes. I understand. Yeah. I understand. I didn't say that they should try and do it. I'm saying this is one of the three names I'd be okay with them acquiring. Because they can't acquire Philip Gustafson and Jesper Wallstedt, the grossest goalie tandem in the NHL right now coming out of Minnesota.
I think that I really...
Don't you know?
I can't wait to see the Western Conference Final between Minnesota and Colorado. That's going to be... Because I don't know what happens there. Quinn Hughes could go crazy.
Right.
Quinn Hughes could go insane.
Yeah. It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
The Habs have not left the standings change so frequently day to day. I don't think the Habs have left, though, the top three in the Atlantic in a while. They've shifted around, certainly, but
they
I think
have not, no.
It's very consistently been the Lightning, the Red Wings, and the Canadiens in the top of the Atlantic. And the Red Wings and the Lightning have been kind of trading back and forth that top spot. You guys are going to – you'll probably have a bit of a tougher seed, I imagine, but – I see ECF in Suzuki's future. I see ECF, you know, because just how bad the whole Eastern Conference is right now. They're one of the only teams that, you know, they have their struggles. They have. I sat behind the net one night at a Habs game and saw Sam Montembeau firsthand and went, oh, honey, I don't even know if you could do ECHL right now. Like, ooh, that's a lot.
They had bad numbers in the AHL like a week and a half ago.
It's not good.
Yeah, it's not good.
But no, like,
it's a crisis of confidence is what it is.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
A very, very painfully obvious crisis of confidence.
Which, you know, I don't know how you fix that because it doesn't seem like the Habs
It's not easy to fix that plan at the Bell Center every other night. That's for sure.
The Habs are such a like good organization that I feel like that's the like the best case scenario for him of like at least you're with a team who will be like understanding and give you the support you need and like actually put you in a conditioning stint unlike certain teams maybe in the New Jersey area. You know, it's I think that hopefully he can retool his game, find something there. There are no goalies worth trading for in my opinion. Like, you got at least it's not if you want to not make a stupid decision because the Oilers are probably going to get another one, I imagine. The Knights are definitely, I think, looking for one because, oh, surprise, the man accused of sexual assault that you got to play after he didn't play for 2 years is not exactly doing a great job. Like,
shocker.
Oh my God. Yeah. So we're going to wrap up here. So thank you guys for listening. Is there anything you're looking forward to this week? Any games that you want people to check out?
I'm always the wrong person to ask because I'm just going to plug the Habs.
Well, we are on Montreal Radio.
So it's only fair enough anyway.
Buffalo. They're in Buffalo. They're in Buffalo tomorrow.
They are very much in Buffalo tomorrow. All three of the games this week are against players below the Habs teams below the Habs in the standings.
God, I can't wait till the Sabres beat you 8-1. That's going to be so funny.
Other
interesting games this week. Like I said, Toronto is in Vegas tomorrow night. Tonight, it's kind of a low affair, like low key affair. The Sens are playing the Rangers. Knights are playing the Kings. Philly's playing Buffalo, and Seattle's playing New Jersey. So, if you want to watch some mid hockey, it'll probably be more entertaining. There'll be some good fights, I'm sure. So we've been North South Hockey on CGLO 1690 AM, always Wednesdays at noon. I've been Avery Beaumont. You've been Will Shukri. I can't even say my own name today. That's how tired I am. And we will see you in the near future.
CGLO 1690 AM in Montreal.
You're listening to CGLO News.
Hands off Venezuela, death to American imperialism. These were some of the slogans being chanted